Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the Kingdom of God.
We're studying Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, where Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Jesus expects us to be motivated by His promises of treasure in heaven. But what if they don't motivate you? What if you think about treasure in heaven and it has no pull on your heart? Then what? How can you increase your desire for heavenly reward? That's the topic of today's podcast. All right, so point number one of this sermon, empty everything out of your earthly treasury. Dump it all out of there. There should be nothing in there. Not one, no money, no relationship, no job, no possessions, not your health, not your stuff, not your neighbor's stuff. Nothing should be in your treasury, your earthly treasury. Now, point number two of the sermon, fill up your heavenly treasury. Fill it up. And filling that up it's a two-part process. There's two parts to it. The first part is obvious. You put treasure there. If you're going to fill up your treasury in heaven, you got to put treasure up there. And you do that by doing things that the Bible says He rewards. Anything the Bible says is godly, anything He says He'll reward brings treasure in heaven for us. So everything you ever do that is God's will increases your treasure in heaven. All righteousness will be rewarded. And even though all righteousness will be rewarded, there's one particular act of righteousness that will really be rewarded that Jesus zeroes in on. Whenever He talks about stockpiling reward in heaven, He really points to this particular action of righteousness as being important, and that is, again, giving and generosity. Luke 12:33. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. He uses the same language from this text, but this time He tells us how to do it. How do you establish that treasure in heaven? Give. Give. Give to the needy. Luke 14:13, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So, it's going to make us generous. If our enjoyment of our wealth really is an act of fellowship with God, it will make us want more fellowship with God, right? And so if I want more fellowship with God, then I'm going to do the things that God really cares about, which is providing for those in need. And so I'm going to want that fellowship too. You know, I have a choice between some earthly pleasure or giving that thing up in order to accumulate heavenly reward, then I'm going to joyfully choose the heavenly reward and give that thing up. Because the greatest enjoyment of earthly wealth comes in giving. It's more blessed to give than to receive, right? That's what Jesus said. Matthew Henry says, wealth is like manure. It's not good for anything unless you spread it around. You pile it up, all you got is a pile of manure. It's true. So how do you do it? How do you treasure up treasure in heaven? Well, first you got to put treasure there by gaining rewards, but that's only part of it. That's only the first part. That's only half the battle. The other half, there's more to treasuring up treasure in heaven than just putting treasure there. The other half is actually treasuring it. He says, treasure up for yourself treasure in heaven. The other part, just as earthly treasury, your earthly treasury is made up of those things your heart really treasures, so is your heavenly treasury made up of things that your heart treasures, that you can't afford to lose, that you have to have, and that you turn to for your joy. So, if you're doing things that God says He'll reward, but you're not motivated very much by that promise of reward, then you're not really treasuring up things in heaven. So how do you make your heart treasure that stuff?
I mean, it's invisible. It's way off in the future. You don't even know what it is exactly. How can you be motivated by something like that? And what if you're not motivated by that? What should you do? I mean, some things are motivated by it, some things are not motivated by it. A gold medal is enough to drive an Olympian to unbelievable feats of self-denial. A gold medal is not enough motivation to drive me to do any of that. Because, you know, different people are motivated by different things. For a reward to serve as a motivation, you have to really be convinced in your soul that it's an actual treasure. So suppose you're convinced in your mind, but not really in your soul. It doesn't go deep enough to really affect your motivations, to get you excited about it. How can you make yourself become more excited about something if you have no idea what that thing is, what that treasure even is? You haven't ever seen it. Well, that's actually not as impossible as it sounds. It happens all the time. Imagine you're a young child, and I've given you this illustration before. I'll just say it again. Suppose you're a young child who has two uncles who come. Every Christmas they come, and they always bring you a gift. They each bring you a gift. First uncle has no clue how to buy gifts for a kid. He doesn't have his kids of his own. He just does not know what. And he buys you the lamest thing every year, some dumb thing. You know it's going to be socks or some worthless thing. The other uncle just has a knack for knowing just what to get. Every year, he gets you the coolest thing, and it's something, it's always something you never even thought to ask for. It wasn't even on your list, you didn't even think of it, it's the best thing you get every year. It's your favorite gift. And that happens year after year after year after year, until finally, all you have to see is this uncle pull up in his car in front of your house, and you're already excited about this gift. Even though you don't have the slightest clue what it is. All you can see is the wrapping paper. Maybe he's not even very good at wrapping. You know, he just put these brown packaging paper and duct tape on there or whatever. It's the worst looking gift under the tree. But still, you're more excited about that gift than any of the others. Why? How can you be excited about something you can't see, you don't know what it is, you've never had it before, and you can't even imagine what it is? You can get excited about it because of your faith in that uncle's gift-giving ability. Right? You trust in his generosity, you trust in his creativity, you trust in his ability to make you happy. That's how you can get excited about a gift that you can't see. You acquaint yourself with the goodness and generosity and creativity of the giver and his ability to make you happy. So the most important key to increasing your desire for God's rewards is to simply increase your understanding of His goodness. And there's a couple of ways you can do that. The most obvious way is to open up to God's Word and study about God's character and learn from Scripture about His goodness. That's obvious, and we do that. The second one isn't as obvious, and that is to take advantage of your experiences of His goodness. And kindness, and generosity, and creativity. Use all earthly pleasures that God gives you as a model to teach your heart what God's goodness is like. See that? It's actually going a little too far to say that we have no idea what the heavenly treasures will be. We do have an idea. God gives us plenty of ideas, plenty of indications. In fact, the whole Sermon on the Mount, the introduction of the Sermon on the Mount, there's a list of those things. Remember the Beatitudes? You go back to the beginning of the sermon and so we will be comforted. We will inherit the earth. We will be filled. We will be shown mercy. We will see God. We will be called sons of God. All those are indications of what this reward is going to be. We all know what those things are like. We've never experienced them in full, but we have in part. We've gotten samples of them. We've all received samples of what comfort feels like, right? Or what being filled to satisfaction feels like, or what receiving mercy feels like. We have some idea of that. And so, in some measure, it's possible for us to imagine having those kinds of things in a greater measure. In fact, the whole reason why we're tempted to take those things and put them into our earthly treasury is because they have some appeal, right? And they have appeal because they are samples of heavenly treasure. That's what makes them appealing. And that applies to both tangible and intangible treasures. Remember, not all earthly treasures are tangible. Pharisees, remember their biggest thing? I mean, they loved money, but what they really loved was honor. which is not a physical thing. It was an intangible thing, but they loved honor. The reason people try to show off their giving and praying and fasting and all that is so that people will be impressed with them and honor them. They have honor in their earthly treasury. Now, is that always an evil thing? Is honor something that is just nothing but bad? No, actually, somebody asked that question on their prayer card last week. They wrote this. They said, if honor is our desire, is that completely sinful? Or is there a way to store up honor for yourself in heaven? Excellent question. And the answer might surprise you a little bit. No, it's not completely sinful. And yes, there is a way to store up for yourself honor for yourself in heaven. Romans 2:6 says, God will give to each person according to what he has done. This is talking about Judgment Day. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. God will give you eternal life on Judgment Day if you are the type who sought honor from him and glory and immortality. But, verse 8, those who are self-seeking, for them there will be wrath and anger. So clearly there's a way to seek honor for yourself that is not self-seeking. Being self-seeking is the opposite of seeking honor for yourself. It's self-seeking when you seek it from men, and it's righteousness when you seek honor from God. 1 Corinthians 4:5, wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each one will receive his praise from God. God will praise you. Not in the sense of worship, not that kind of praise, but like a father praising his little child when he takes his first steps. God will praise you on Judgment Day. And so the question of whether you're selfish or self-seeking on the one hand, or humble and godly and righteous on the other hand, is not a question of whether or not you crave honor, but rather whether you treasure honor from men or do you treasure honor from God. John 12:42, many even among the leaders believed in him, but because the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved praise from men more than praise from God. That was the issue. The issue is not whether you desire praise or honor. It's whom, from whom do you desire it? Men or God? You can have honor from God and be thought a fool by men, or you can have honor from men and be regarded as a fool by God. It's your choice. Either way. And which one of those you prefer shows where your heart is. So anyway, all that to say, there are things that we put in our earthly treasury that are designed to cause us to understand how good God's rewards really are. So use earthly treasures to teach your soul about heavenly treasures. That's why earthly treasures exist. God didn't just put all these pleasures on this earth just to tempt us. He put them here to teach us about his goodness. And that's true for tangible things, and it's true for intangible things both.
What intangible treasure are you likely to experience today? Honor? Love? Safety? Insight? Pick your favorite one. And when you enjoy it today, use that enjoyment to teach your soul about what heavenly rewards are like, so you desire them more.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are a crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.